Good morning, Highland Heights. We had a great week. Just so thankful. Brother Jeff mentioned it. What a wonderful week we had. And here's a picture that Pat Piercy took of the back of our auditorium during this week. And for those of you that are visiting with us, we're so grateful for your presence here. We want you to come back. Make sure you take one of those cards in the back of the pews, fill that out, and give it to one of us. And we want to thank you for your presence here. I met a lady sitting here in the back, and she's been here in Lebanon for 8 days. She's here with her niece, but she doesn't speak English, so she's sitting there in the back, but she speaks Spanish, and so you might want to, if you can say a few words in Spanish, go back there and talk with her. But she's real sweet. So we want to continue praying for Barry. He is not doing well, and we just want to pray that God give him complete restoration of health and give him comfort until that happens. So keep praying for Barry and all the family. Once again, I want to thank all the servants, all of you that work so hard. I was just so impressed, just so blessed. And those kids are going to remember this. Next Lord's Day, next Sunday, I'll be speaking in Newcomerstown, Ohio. That's a congregation where I was baptized about 50 years ago this year. And it's the home of Cy Young, the baseball pitcher, Woody Hayes, and me. So there's a few duds. There's a few duds from Newcomerstown, Ohio. But anyway, so I'll be speaking there next Sunday. But as we were real little, we went to church periodically. And those classes planted seeds in my heart, things that I really never forgot. And so I'm saying all that to say that give value. You might think, oh, this is just a bunch of commotion and a lot of activity, but it means a lot to those children. It's going to change destinies and generations. So we want to thank you all for that. Also, happy Father's Day. And you can say happy Father's Day to anybody. They don't have to be a father. You can say it to your wife, to your kids. Everybody should enjoy today. It's a Father's Day. But I think Jake has more children than any of us now. After this week, I think they all wanted him to be their father. He did a great job, Jake. A lot of fun. That was good. So we realize that Father's Day is not as important as Mother's Day, okay? Just be truthful. 1914, Mother's Day was made an official holiday. It wasn't until 1972 that, oh, yeah, what about the father? So they made Father's Day just to make us so we won't feel so bad. Used to be the fathers were really held high up. There was a program on TV in the late 50s, early 60s called Father Knows Best. Today, you probably never get one of those on TV, but it was a good family show and how the father would, with wise and compassionate counsel, would help the kids through their problems and things. But things have changed in our culture. Today we joke about fathers. It's not easy being a mom. If it were, dads would do it. So that's kind of the way our culture is changing now. Because dads are the only people we make fun of. You can't make fun of women or children or anybody, but you can make fun of dads. That's because we can take it, right? We're strong. They even make fun of our jokes. Have you heard of dad jokes? Anybody ever heard of a dad joke? I looked it up in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. I know it hasn't been in there very long, but it's in there. And the definition is a wholesome joke of a type said to be told by fathers, which with a punchline that is often an obvious or predictable pun or play on words, and usually judged to be endearingly corny or even unfunny. So that's a dad joke. So if you're not familiar, I'm going to share with you a few of my favorite dad jokes, okay? The first is my wife laughed at me when I told her I could make a car out of macaroni. You should have seen her face when I drove past them. I gave all my dead batteries away today, free of charge. That's a good dad joke. Dad wisdom. Why in a country of free speech are there phone bills? Think about that. I've got a pen that can write underwater. And the kids all go, oh, wow. Ooh. And it can write other words too, but underwater is one of my favorites. Oh, Dad. But they think it's corny, but they laugh. Which days are the strongest? Saturday and Sunday, because the rest are weak days. Hear the groans, hear the groans. Policeman knocks on the door and says, "Sir, it looks like your wife has been involved in an accident." The man replies, "I know, but she has a lovely personality." I'll explain that one to you later. You think about it, you think about it. When does a joke become a dad joke? When the punchline is apparent. It's getting tough, it's getting tough. I'm finishing up. There's only one difference between a bad joke and a dad joke, and that's the first letter. Okay, I want to talk about seven important lessons that we can enjoy and share on Father's Day. And the first four will be for the children, and the last three for our fathers, okay? So the first one is, not everyone has had a father. Now that's pretty obvious, right? We know from experience, if you've had a father, you've been blessed. Good or bad, it's because not everybody's had a father. I had a good buddy of mine in school, and his father died when he was very young of a heart attack. And so it was, he just didn't have the privilege of a lot of us have. Or sometimes fathers are irresponsible. They're a biological father, but not a real father, and they don't accept their responsibilities and just disappear out of life. So maybe you've not had a father because of that. Or maybe you've had a father at home, but he was just totally absent. Just didn't care about anything or anybody. Just lived his life and didn't care about people. Or maybe you had a father at home, and worse yet, not only did not care, but he was very abusive. We all have seen that, and certainly none of us have had perfect fathers. But I want to share with you right now Keith's article he wrote. He should be up here sharing this, but I'm going to share it because it's so good. And I know not everybody read this article, because I've heard people say, "Oh, I didn't see the article this week," and things like that. So I'm going to read it to you. And if you did, it's still good to think about. Listen to this. The title's "Fathers, We Need You." I heard a story recently that shed some light on the state of fatherhood in our world today. Several years ago, a group of people involved with local prison ministry decided to provide cards for inmates on Mother's Day. Almost all the inmates in prison responded positively and took advantage of the opportunity to send a card to their mother. The effort was such a success that the group decided to do the same thing on Father's Day. But the response was much different. Almost none of the inmates participated. And we've probably all seen studies where the absence of a father in home has been a real common denominator in the lives of a lot of troubled individuals. So Keith goes on to write, "The point? Fatherlessness runs rampant in our society and touches each and every one of us in the most heartbreaking and traumatic way. Our culture loves to chase rabbits, blaming societal problems such as gun violence on gun violence, the rise of mental health issues, and overwhelming drug abuse on causes that do not reflect the reality. The heart of our societal problems, the vast majority of the time, is a father's failure to fulfill his God-given role as defender, guide, educator, and shepherd of the family. Our culture has experienced a slippery slope down into the abyss of radical feminism and anti-masculinity, which has done nothing but create a society of irresponsible fathers who behave more like selfish children than sacrificial, godly men of courage and valor." Paul says this concerning fathers: "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Ephesians 6:4. A father is a minister to his family, a servant who lays down his selfish will and joyfully sacrifices for the good of those in his care. Alongside the mother, the father is the primary influencer in the life of the children. He is to use his influence to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. When fathers fail to live out their God-given calling, the results are devastating. However, we know that no father is perfect. No matter how hard they try to instill within their children proper moral qualities, they will still fall short in their example and influence. That is why the greatest thing that a father could ever do for his family is to point them beyond himself to the God who has saved him by grace through faith. Fathers, we need you. Please don't listen to our culture that diminishes the importance of your role and preaches that you are not needed. We need you to step up and lead your families with zeal. You can do this because you yourself have a good Father in heaven who filters his influence down to you if you allow him. And that's signed Keith Pickard. So thanks, Keith. That was really special. You might, there's more copies out there on the table. You might want to pick one up and share it with somebody, or certainly keep it. So absent fathers are a problem. And unfortunately, too many of us have had an absent father, whether physically or emotionally or spiritually. But the Word of God here in Psalm chapter 103, verse 13 says, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." So the idea is that if you've not had a father, or if you've had a father that's not been a good example, take courage in these words that God is our true father. He loves us more than any earthly physical father could. And so, and that's available to all of us. A second lesson that we need to learn today is that as children, we need to be merciful, respectful, kind, and patient with your father. You know, when you were born, your father didn't receive this instruction manual, how to change a diaper or how to raise a child or what's good for his self-esteem or how to help him get through problems in life. You just kind of wing it. A lot of times you just kind of do what your parents did. And if they didn't do a very good job, it's possible that you're not going to do a very good job. And people have different personalities and different qualities and traits and abilities. And so you need to maybe lighten up on your dad. Don't expect perfection out of somebody who's not perfect, because you yourself is not perfect. And so that's so important, because sometimes people create this angst within themselves because their expectations for their earthly fathers, physical fathers, are real unrealistic. And so I want to encourage you to be respectful, kind, merciful, patient. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says that children are to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is God's will. It's His promise to you. And that obedience, it comes from this attitude of respect. Not because your father deserves respect or because he is the most perfect father in the world, but because God has asked you to do that. And that's why we live this way. Number three, we need to learn to forgive our dads. Now, it's impossible. There's not a dad here who hasn't messed up sometime or another in your life. And I could go on and talk and tell you examples of times I've messed up with my children. We had a lot of crime in Brazil, a lot of kidnapping. And after a Bible study one night, I was having some gastritis. That's what I'm trying to think. I was having gastritis, and so after the Bible study, I went on to bed and asked Becky to close up the house and everything. Well, she got busy and she left and she came to bed, but she didn't close the front door. And most Brazilians all have walls and gates, but that time we didn't have in our front. And so the police saw the light was on, and so they stopped and came in our house. And we had just gotten through with the big Bible study, all these people, and it was late, and everything was kind of turned upside down. So they thought we'd been robbed. And so they're knocking on the door, and this voice says, "Open the door, it's the police." And I thought, well, sure, it sounded like, you know, this mafia guy and everything. And I heard Vanessa out there, and they said, "Little girl, tell your dad to open the door." And so I thought, well, this is my time to be kidnapped. And so I put my tennis shoes on, and not even thinking about Vanessa's well-being or anything, just, you know, kind of, and I asked Vanessa through the door in English, "Are these really policemen?" Now, here I should be worried about Vanessa, but I wasn't even thinking, and she doesn't let me forget that. It says, "Dad." But we all mess up. There's not a perfect father. What father hasn't accused one child of doing something that the other child didn't do? There's things like that. And so we can ask We can forgive our fathers for anything. Maybe they were abusive. There's a family there in Brazil in the church today. Their father was the most abusive man I'd ever seen in my life. He would lock food up from his family, keep it in his bedroom that he had all to himself, so his family wouldn't eat it. It was horrible, and just horrible, and I couldn't say enough. But the family is so respectful, and they were Christians, and he eventually became a Christian himself. Just amazing. But they have to work through that and forgive him for all of that. And so Jesus says in Matthew 6, 13 and 14, if you don't forgive others, then he's not going to forgive us. And so it's not a choice. It's not to say, well, I just forget everything. It's okay what you did. Well, it's not okay. Maybe it was very abusive. It wasn't okay. But now, rather than my having hate in my heart and destroying my life and just keeping me out of heaven, I'm going to want the best for my father. And whether he repents or not, whether he's changed or not, Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. On the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So it's not whether your father deserves forgiveness, but God said to forgive. And God deserves for us to act like that and be like that. And so if your parents have done anything, your father's done anything, forgive them so that you can be right with God and live the best possible life. The fourth thing about for the children here is accept that your father is a real person. Okay? It's so easy as children just to think, well, I don't know, they're almost like robots. You know, there's my parents, here's my life. And sometimes my parents get my way and just kind of criticize them and expect things out of them. And when they're not perfect, be upset with them. Well, they're real people. They have personalities, maybe quite different than your personalities. They have feelings. They feel bad. They're hurt when you're disrespectful or you're disobedient. And so remember, your father is a person. And he loves you independently of how you act, but he may not like you, depending on how you act. And so accept your father as a person and be kind and considerate and become good friends. Okay, now to the fathers, the last three lessons here. The first or the best way to love your children is to love their mother. The best way to love your children is to love their mother. Sometimes I see men who want to separate their love for their kids and their love for their wife. Maybe it's not going very well with their wife. Oh, my children, I'll do anything for them. Well, how about loving their mother? Because you're setting a good example for them. You married her for in sickness and health, for rich or for poor, whatever the circumstances. I'm going to be by your side and be dedicated to you. And those children will see how you act and how you treat your wife, their mother. And you'll be teaching them, but also you'll be giving them a sense of security that you can't imagine. It can't be bought. It can't be purchased. You can't come up with any better idea than a loving husband who loves his wife under every circumstance, and that gives that child a sense of security in their family that they need and they'll be blessed with the rest of their life. Another lesson for the fathers is that God wants fathers to be spiritual leaders. God wants fathers to be spiritual leaders. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, Joshua says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's the way the fathers need to be. It's not like, Dad, are we going to church today? Oh, I don't know. Ask your mom. No. Children need to see in you Jesus. They need to see in you that desire to do the Father's will no matter what. That I would say no to my will and yes to the will of the Father. A couple of my buddies from college who told me about some situation with their father. One father, one buddy told me that their father, at the beginning of the year, would sit down and he'd write out 52 checks for his contribution on Sunday. Didn't matter what they had in the bank, he was committed to contributing to the church. Another one told me about that he and his brother, they played football, but come Wednesday night, the father would come and pick them up early. The coach knew that they weren't going to miss church. And just those kind of attitudes and those kind of priorities set by fathers will be a blessing to your family for many years to come. And then last of all, being a spiritual leader takes time and a conscientious effort. Open your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to read verses 4 through 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. Now this is what God instructed his people to do. And obviously our customs are a little bit different, but the principle is the same here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. What words? The words to love God with all of your mind, your soul, and your might. Those words, that command of God's to be on our hearts, and we're to pass these on to our children. Verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. God needs to be a central part of our conversations. When you come home, tell your family about some of the ways God blessed you with, or ask them, so what are some ways God blessed you with today? Or what are some spiritual challenges you had? Or how did you handle those? Talk about God's goodness. When you open the blinds up in the morning, see that beautiful sky, just thank God out loud. What a beautiful day God's blessed us with. And so that needs to be a natural, constant atmosphere in our homes. And the father, as a spiritual leader of his home, is going to have to take time. He's going to have to think through some of those things. You can't just expect the church, the Sunday school teachers, to instill your child with all the spirituality that they need. No, it begins at home. And when we come here, this is the icing on the cake. This is when we celebrate all that we've been doing during the week. And so, as a spiritual leader, take time and make a conscientious effort. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing our lives far beyond anything that we deserve. We thank you, Father, for our dads, those of us who have had them, and even with all of their humanity, Father, we thank you. But above all, Father, we thank you for being our Father and knowing that you're the perfect one that has compassion on us and loves us more than any earthly parent could ever love us. Help us, Father, to live our lives in such a way that we demonstrate gratitude and love to you. Please bless us, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.